Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim daf Yud Gimel. We left off in daf Yud Beis. And Beis were six lines from the bottom of the page at Amar Rav Ashi. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and is also sponsored the Zechus Refuah Shleima for Rav Kelmer Shlita Yehuda ben Rivka Leah. He should have a Refuah Shleima Baruch Hashem. We heard some encouraging news yesterday. He should continue to get stronger each and every day and have a Refuah Shleima B'soch Shar Chole Yisrael. And we thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to pick up on the discussion about the machlokas between Reb Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about how much of a mistake a person makes when trying to tell the time, both in terms of Hilchos Eidos as well as in terms of Hilchos Chametz, and we'll discuss whether those two things are connected to each other. Then the entire Amud Aleph pretty much is dedicated to why it is that of the three Shitos in Tanayim as to what time on Erev Pesach you have to stop eating Chametz, why it is that Rav Paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. Why not Paskin like Rabbi Meir? Why not Paskin like Rabbi Gamliel? And the Gemara is going to suggest very good reasons that you should Paskin like Rabbi Meir, or very good reasons that you should Paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, but yet Rav chose to Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So we're going to discuss that Chametz should not be eaten during the fifth hour, that you stop after 4 hours, and the fifth hour it's Tolin, Lo Ochlin, Velo Sarfin. So why is it that Rav Paskin that way? Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss the inyan of the two loaves, that we said that there were the simanim on Har Abayis, that everyone would be able to look at Har Abayis and see what time it is. Because if the two loaves were still there, then you know that you're still allowed to eat your chametz. When only one loaf was there, then you know that it's not yet time to burn chametz, but it's no longer time to eat chametz. And when both loaves were gone, you know that you're overdue in terms of burning your chametz. So the Gemara is going to discuss, what were these two loaves? Were they kodesh? Were they lachmei toda? And if they were they kasher? Were they pasul? And if they were pasul, what was their psul exactly? Why it is that these two loaves ended up being used as the simon? And we'll even have a shita that it wasn't really two loaves; it was two something else that was used as a simon to be able to indicate the zman of achilas chametz. So let's begin six lines from the bottom of the page. Yud beis amud beis third word on the line. Am Rav Ashi kimachlokas beedus kach machlokas bechametz. Just like we have machlokas Rav Meir Rav Yehuda as far as hilchos edus is concerned about how much of a discrepancy there's going to be, how much of a mistake people will make in terms of telling the time, so too we have machlokas as far as chametz is concerned. Meaning we've seen both of these machlokas, we've even asked stiras in both of these machlokas, that the numbers are either 2 hours and 3 hours by Hilchos Eidos, but 1 hour and 2 hours by Hilchos Chametz, and we explained why there is a stira, why it is that it's not really a stira, that chametz is different than Eidos, because Eidos is only Lizrizin, and chametz is Mesura Lakal, so we've already explained that it's really the same basic idea. The machlokas is the same basic idea in both places. The application is slightly different. So says Mar Pshita, Hainu Acht Amrina. That's exactly what we just got through saying in yesterday's shir. So says Mar No, Hakamash Vlad, Shinuyi Deshanin and Shinuyi Huvalote Matanaihi. That what we're trying to say is that the answers that we gave as to why it's not a stira in the Shita of Rameir, and why it's not a stira in the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda between Eidos and Chametz, those are good answers. Meaning sometimes we say that when we have a concept called Shinuya Dechika, so sometimes we say Shinuya Dechika Lo Samchinan, that we're not going to be Samech on an answer that's just given to be able to answer up the question, but we're not confident that that's actually the correct answer, that's actually the correct Malik. So over here we're going out of our way to say in the other direction, that these answers are actually the correct answer, and that Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda are completely Shitasam, and you don't have to assume it's a Machlokas of later Tanoim what Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda actually held. Amar of Simi Barashi lo shanu ela b'shaos. Aval echra amar kodem neitzchama v'echra amar achra neitzchama edusam b'teila. Once we're on the topic of a discrepancy and how much of a mistake a person will make, one thing people don't make a mistake about. You can't have a person making a mistake between before neitzchama and after neitzchama. If one of them says it was before sunrise and the other one says it was right after sunrise, see, even though that's within a few minutes of each other, within an hour of each other, no one makes a mistake about that. Was the sun in the sky? Was the sun not in the sky? So then the this is for sure going to be batel. Says Mar Pshita, that's obvious. That's a very clear thing. That's clear as day. So Ella Echad Amar Kodem Neitzachama VeEchad Amar Bitocha Neitzachama Edusam B'Teila. No, what we meant to say is if one of them said it happened before Neitzachama, the other one said it happened during Neitzachama, then the Edus is going to be batel. Says Mar Hanami Pshita, it's also obvious. Why would meaning if it's something that's so clearly observable in the sky, so they wouldn't make a mistake about such a thing? Says Mar No, Ma'ad Detem Travay Chodim Ilsa Kamri Vadu Kamar. have a begluya, have a koyiv, zaru Rabbi Alma udechaza kamash malan. I might have thought that they neither of them is making a, that they would make a mistake about this. Neither of them is lying, and the fact that the fellow thought it was tochan, it was kodem neitzachama. Even the fellow thought it was tochan neitzachama rather was because he saw rays of the sun that were somewhat blinding, and therefore he wasn't able to see whether the actual sun was already rising above the horizon. So that's why it's an honest mistake to make if there are already rays coming out, and you don't know necessarily if the sun is coming above the horizon. So kamash malan, that no, it's not an honest mistake to make. You could see the ball of the sun, or you don't see the ball of the sun. If you see the ball of the sun coming above the horizon, that's acher neitzachama. If you don't see it coming above the horizon, that's kodem neitzachama. So you wouldn't say that, even if one says tocha neitzachama, one says before neitzachama, edu sun betela. Period. Amrav Nachum Ramrav. Now the topic that will take the entire Amud Aleph. Amrav Nachum Ramrav, halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. That we passing like Rabbi Yehuda Shita in our Mishnah. Says Rashi, what was that again? Detolin kol chamesh. That during the fifth hour of the day, on Erev Pesach, it is no longer a time that you're allowed to eat chametz, but you don't have to burn chametz until the sixth hour. So there's that 1 hour where the chametz is in limbo. So Amalei Rav L'Rav Nachman, v'neima mara lach Rav Meir, desasim l'ntana kavasei, detan kol shoshamotu lechel machil. Why would you pass like Rav Yehuda? You should pass like Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds you're allowed to eat throughout the fifth hour, and the reason you should pass like Rav Meir is because we have a Stam Mishnah that says like Rav Meir. Where do we have a Stam Mishnah that says like Rav Meir? Because the Mishnah tells us on Daf Chav Aleph that Kol Sha'a, it's the first Mishnah of the second parak, the second parak is called Parak Kol Sha'a, that Kol Sha'a Shemutu Lechol Machil, that any time you're allowed to eat chametz, you can then feed the chametz to animals as well. Mashma, that if you're not allowed to feed chametz to animals, then you're not allowed to eat chametz either. And if you are allowed to feed chametz to animals, you are allowed to eat chametz, which means throughout the fifth hour, you're still allowed to eat chametz. That's Shitas Rabbi Meir. So why would Rav Paskin, why would Rav Nachman Amar Rav, Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, Paskin like a Stam Mishnah? Says Marahu Lav Stamahu. No, that's not a Stam Mishnah that's going like Rav Meir. Mishum Dekasha Mutter. There's an extra word in that Mishnah. The Mishnah says Kolsha Shemutter Lechel Machil. Why doesn't it say Kolsha Sheochel Machil? That implies, the word Mutter implies that Kolsha, that it's Mutter for some people to eat the chametz, you could still be machal behema. If it meant kol shah that it's mutter for everybody to eat the chametz, it would have said kol shah sha ochel machil. By saying mutter, it's implying that for some people it's aser. That so long as for some people it's mutter to eat chametz. So who says that? That there's ever a time that for some people it's mutter, for others it's aser? That was the third sheet in the Mishnah. That was Ram Gamliel. Ram Gamliel said it depends. That if it's truma, we're going to give you an extra hour so that we don't have to burn truma, we don't have to destroy truma. So if you happen to be a kohen and you have truma tahora, you get an extra hour you can eat during the fifth hour. But if it's chulin, you got to stop after 4 hours. So the Stam Mishnah is not going like Rameh. The Stam Mishnah is going like Rameh Gamliel. So says the Gemara, okay, but still that the name Amar halach Rameh Gamliel davali mechria. So instead of paskening like Rabbi Yehuda, so paskening Rameh Gamliel. You don't want to paskening Rameh. You think it's not a Stam Mishnah like Rameh. Paskening Rameh Gamliel, and I'll give you a good reason to paskening like Rameh Gamliel. Paskening Rameh Gamliel because he's a machria. Normally, when you have two extreme positions and there's one position in the middle that's machria between them, you paskening like the compromise opinion. So here you have Rabbi Yehuda that says fifth hour, no way. Rameh says fifth hour, everything goes. And Rameh Gamliel says some things go during the fifth hour. Truma, you can eat during the fifth hour, not everything. So that's exactly a machria. Amalei Rameh Gamliel love machria. He says Rameh Gamliel is not a machria. Tam dinaf shei ka'amar. He was coming up with his own chiluk, meaning the way Rashi explains, a machria means that you have one sheet that says echad chulin ve'echad truma. I don't care if it's chulin or truma, you're allowed to eat it. And the other one says echad chulin ve'echad truma, you're not allowed to eat it. And then the machria says, oh no, it depends whether it's chulin or truma. But neither Rabbi Meir nor Rabbi Yehuda ever gave any indication that there's room to distinguish between chulin and truma, that there's any daylight between chulin and truma. Had they said echad chulin ve'echad truma, that they specifically identified both chulin and truma and said, I don't care whether it's chulin or truma, I hold this way or I hold that way, Then when Rav Gamliel says, oh no, let's be mechalik between chulin and truma, that would be an achriya. But they never even mentioned chulin and truma because they thought that it's not even a chilik to be entertained. So if neither of the other shittos think that it's a chilik to be entertained, and Rav Gamliel is the first one to introduce even the notion of chulin and truma, so that's not called a machriya. Why, Taki, is it that we paskin like a divrei machriya? Meaning this seems like a rule in Shas that we paskin halacha kedivrei machriya. So Rashi writes in Maseches Baba Kama that the reason we paskin like a divrei machriya is because it's a halacha karabim against the yachid. Meaning legabe eating truma during the fifth hour. Rav Meir holds you're allowed to do it because he holds you're allowed to eat anything during the fifth hour, and Rav Gamliel holds you're allowed to do it because he holds you're allowed to eat truma during the fifth hour. Rav Yehuda's the only one on the outside. Legabe eating chulin during the fifth hour, Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to do it, and Rabbi Gamliel says you're not allowed to do it. Only Rabbi Meir says you're allowed to do it. So it's Yachid V'Rabim Halacha K'Rabim. Rabbi Elchanan points out that if that's the case, that Yachid V'Rabim Halacha K'Rabim, what's this last line of the Gemara? That Rabbi Gamliel is not a Machria because the other two Shitos never indicated that there's a distinction between Chulin and Truma. Okay, it doesn't matter if they indicated it. It's still a Rabbim, meaning you would still have a Rabbim about Truma that you're allowed to eat it, and a Rabbim about Chulin that you're not allowed to eat it, and we should paskin like the rabbin. The assumption that he seems to be making is that you would paskin like a rabbin against the yachid, even if the rabbin has two different reasons, even if there's different logic for the rabbin. That's a major discussion in Chosh Mishpat. When we go through the Klali HaPsak in Simchafei and Chosh Mishpat, that's a discussion. Do you follow the shita of a rabbin when the rabbin is not on the same page as each other? So we find in Chosh Mishpat the Marik writes that even when you don't, when the Rabbim are not Shavim B'ta'amam, we still paskin like the Rambam, and that's what the Ramah paskins in Simon Chaf Hei and Chosh Mishpat. The Shach, however, is Medayik from the Agur that it depends. If it's an Issa D'Oraisa or an Issa D'Rabbanan. I mean, if we're trying to be Mekel on a Din D'Rabbanan, we'll paskin like the Rabbim even when they don't say the same Svara. But to be Mekel on a Din D'Oraisa, we're not going to be paskining like a Rabbim when they're not on the same page as each other. Rabbeinu Chananel and the Tosas Rid give another reason that Rabbim Gamliel is not a machriya because he was many years before that Reb Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and a Rishon cannot be machriya divrei ha'achronim. So that's why Rabbi Gamliel is not a machriya over here. Not like the way Rashi explained that that Reb Meir and Rabbi Yehuda never thought of the distinction between truma and chulin. Rishonim also point out that even if he's not a machriya, I mean, what do we say? We should pass like Reb Meir because there's a stam mishnah like Reb Meir. Then we said, no, that stam mishnah is not like Reb Meir. That stam mishnah is like Rabbi Gamliel. And then we said, okay, so let's pass it like Rabbi Gamliel because... So how would you finish that sentence? I would have finished that sentence because I just showed you it's a stam mishnah like Rabbi Gamliel. But the Gemara says, no, because halacha k'divrei machriya. Why not say because it's a stam... We just showed that the stam mishnah is not following Rabbi Meir, the stam mishnah is Rabbi Gamliel. And apparently we think stam mishnah is a good enough reason to pass in that way. So Tosas points out that it's a good kasha, but the Gemara has another answer as to why it is that Rav passes like Rabbi Yehuda, and we'll get to that soon. Why it is that Rav passes like Rabbi Yehuda, that would have been a good kasha also. Tosrit says that even though the Stam Mishnah is like Rav Gamliel, but since Rav Gamliel was older than Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, as a din of a Stam v'achar kach machlokas. Meaning, since Rav Gamliel predated Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, you only pass like a Stam Mishnah if a subsequent Mishnah did not then have a machlokas about that same inyan. But since you have a machlokas Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and that came later in history from Rav Gamliel, that has the status of a Stam v'achar kach machlokas, so we're not going to paskin like such a Stam Mishnah. Whereas Tosfos ben Peretz and the Ram Chalava say that the Gemara doesn't mean to say that we necessarily know that this is a Stam Mishnah that's going like Rav Gamliel. No, it's a possibility that this is a Stam Mishnah like Rav Gamliel. But we don't necessarily know that's true, that it might be going like Rabbi Meir. So since we don't know for sure that it's Stam Mishnah like Rav Gamliel, the real compelling reason the Gemara thought to say to go like Rav Gamliel is because Halacha K'divrei HaMachriya. So anyway, so the Gemara says the reason we don't, that Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Nachman Amar Rav does not paskins like Rabbi Yehuda and does not paskin like Rav Meir because we have no Stam Mishnah like Rav Meir, and he does not paskin like Rav Gamliel because Rav Gamliel is not a Machriya, Viva Yisema Rav Da Amar Ki Ay Tana. But the real answer might be that Rav simply holds like the following Tana. Titania Arba Asr Shchal Yos B'Shabbos Mivarnes HaKol Milchrei HaShabbos. If Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos like it will this year, so I guess that's a Daf Yom HaKadosh, if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so you destroy all the Chameitz before Shabbos starts, besorfen trumos tomeos, tulios utahoros, and you burn even all of the truma before Shabbos starts, whether it be truma tomeah, which you always are supposed to burn, whether it be Truma Taliyah, which you're unsure about, or whether it be Truma Taurus. Umeshayrin min HaTaurus, Mazon Shtei Sudas Kedei Lechol, Adal Shalos, Divrei Reb Elazar ben Yehuda, Ishpar Tusa, Shav Mishum Reb Yeshua. But you leave aside to Truma Tahora, 2 meals worth of Truma Tahora, in order to eat Ad Dalad Shaos, until 4 hours into the day on the actual Erev Pesach, on Shabbos, which is actually Erev Pesach. So Amru Lo, the Chumash said to this Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda Ishpartusa, Taharos Lo Yisrafu Shabbiyim Tzulan Ochlin. No, you can't burn the Truma Tahora, the rest of your Truma Tahora before Shabbos. What if you find people who are able to eat it? New Kohanim show up and they say, oh, we're hungry, and they'll be able to eat it still Shabbos morning. So Amlan Kvar Bikshuv Lo Matzu. No, the Hechitimtze is, you looked high and low for Kohanim, and no one was interested. Everyone was trying to get rid of their own chametz. No one was interested in your Truma Torah. So Amar Lo, they said, no, we're still not convinced. Shem l'chutz l'choma lanu. Maybe there are Kohanim that are traveling in from out of town. It's Pesach. Everyone's going to their family for Yantiv. So maybe there was someone that's within the Tchum Shabbos, out of the town, who's a Kohen, who's coming in, and he's going to be hungry, and will still be able to eat your Truma Torah. Don't jump the gun and burn your Truma Torah before Shabbos. There's still a chance a Kohen might be able to come and eat it. So Amar Lo, Yisrafu. He says, okay, but then why are you only questioning me about the Truma Torah? You should question me even about the Truma that's Teluya, that we don't know whether it's Tamei or Tahar, because there's still a chance. What chance could it be? Shema Yov Elio, V'yitairin. Elio Anavi might come and tell us that this is in fact Truma Torah. Elio Anavi is allowed to come and be Mevar Mitzius, right? He doesn't come and Mevar. Well, Elio Anavi is Mevar Mitzius for us to tell us, but to be Mevar Halacha, not Alpi Nevu. He can only be Mevar Halacha, Meretz Chayis writes a number of places in Shas, because he's also a rabbi, right? That's his day job. He's also a Talmud Chacham. So he can paskin a Halacha, but Alpi Nevua, you're not allowed to paskin a Halacha. But anyway, Elio HaNavi can tell us the Metzius, that it's Truma Torah, and then we'll be allowed to eat it. Amru Lo, Kvar Muluftak Len Lisol, Shein Elio Ba, Lo Ba'arvi Shabbos, Lo Ba'arvi Yom Tov, Mnei HaTorech. No, Elio is not going to come in Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov. Everyone's too busy Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov. So Elio is not coming that day. Erev Pesach Shchal Yom Tov is an insane day. So it's not happening that Elio Navi is going to bother us on that day. So Amr Lo Zaz Mishamat Shekava Alach Rav Elazar ben Yehuda Ishpartusa. So they establish right then that Alach follows Rav Elazar ben Yehuda Ishpartusa Shem Mishum Rabbi Yeshua. What he said in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. So he really said two things. He said number one that you burn everything except for those 2 meals worth on Erev Shabbos. And then the second thing he said, and the latest time to eat those 2 meals worth of Truma Torah that you left is 4 hours into the day. You don't get that 5th hour to eat it, which is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. So my lava filu lechol, when we say we paskin like this shita, doesn't that mean all the way that we paskin like both of the things he said, to burn everything else on Erev Pesach, and that you're only allowed to eat through 4 hours of the day? No, when we say we paskin like him, it's only as far as Leva'er is concerned. It's only as far as what we burn on Erev Pesach, but it's not as far as how late into the day to eat on Pesach itself. Now, with this idea that Muftach Lem Yisrael, that Elio Navi is not going to come Arve Shabbos and Arve Yom Tovim, Rav Elchanan raises a very simple question. He says, we'll forgive it, right? Meaning, we've been waiting a long time. So if Elio Hanavi comes, so it's a little inconvenient that he comes in Erev Shabbos. It's a busy day. Just come, okay? We'll take it, right? So Rav Elchanan doesn't just ask it like that. Rav Elchanan says, I have a raya that it shouldn't bother us. Rav Elchanan points out that you're allowed to fast the Tainus Chalom on Shabbos, right? Why are you allowed to fast the Tainus Chalom on Shabbos? It's going to be a bitul oneg Shabbos, because it's a greater oneg Shabbos to know that your Chalom is taken care of and that you don't have to be bothered by your Chalom anymore, by your Chalom Ra anymore on Shabbos. So says Rav Elchanan, apparently things that normally would be a bitul oneg Shabbos, the overall bigger picture, if in the bigger picture you're happy about it, it's a greater oneg for you. So you would imagine that Elio Navi coming on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, okay, so maybe my challah won't be as good this Shabbos because I will have forgotten to spice it properly or something. I was so busy with Elio Navi. But the enhancement of oneg would be so much greater. So he says you have to say that if the Zman of Elio was to come on Erev Shabbos, it means he would come a day early. That the oneg would be great, meaning he, for that, he'd give us a day early. He would come before then, if that's when he was supposed to come. So that's how Rav Elchanan is mitarit. Now we also spoke over here a little bit about Erev Pesach falling out on Shabbos. So we said, when do they leave over? You have to have 2 meals because you could still eat chametz
And you have a chiyuv of Su'udas Shabbos on Erev Pesach Chalios Shabbos. So the Achronim are all the Poskim, Rishonim really already, are all excited about, wait a second, there's not a mitzvah to eat two meals on Shabbos, there's a mitzvah to eat three meals on Shabbos, but you're really stuck on Erev Pesach Chalios Shabbos because you can't eat Chametz, because Chametz later for Shalosh Shudas, because by the time Shalosh Shudas rolls around, Chametz is Aser, and you can't eat Matzah, because Yerushalmi says that anyone who's Ochel Matzah on Erev Pesach is Kilu Bo'ol Arusasa Beis Chamav. It's something that a person is not supposed to do. You're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So if you can't eat chametz, can't eat matzah, you're supposed to have Lechem Mishnah for Shalosh Shudas. Shalosh Shudas is supposed to be in the second half of the day of Shabbos. So now what? How are you supposed to have Shalosh Shudas? So the Meiri writes that that what a lot of people do is that they'll be mafsik the Su'uda Shachris into two. They'll eat only an early Su'uda on Shabbos day, but they'll take a walk in the middle of the bench, they'll take a walk around the block a couple of times, come back and have and finish their Su'uda all within the Zman. So what we compromise on is two things. First of all, instead of eating Shalosh Shudas late in the day, we eat the Shalosh Shudas early in the day, so we're willing to compromise on that, even though it's not L'chol HaDeos that that's okay. And we're also compromising a little bit in Hilchos Brachos, that we're willing to say that taking a walk around the block is enough of a hefsek. Forget about Pesach Chalios Shabbos, you have like every Shabbos now, in the wintertime, right? Daf Yomi is at, what, 3:20? So when are you going to eat Shalosh Shudas exactly? So with Corona-style minyanim, we're always finished davening by 10:30. So I go home, 10:30, take two matzahs, and have a kiddush, two lecha mishnah, and then take a walk for an hour, not around the block. Take a whole hour. Chatzos is what time is chatzos? I don't know, like it's early chatzos. So by the time we start our suda, it's past chatzos, so we're okay. So it's an eitzah that comes up. But on Erev Pesach, you can't do after chatzos. It's all got to be before chatzos. Then the Meiri says that the second option is, who says you have to have lechem mishnah? Who says you have to have lechem at all? Maybe you can rely on those shittos that mine targima, that you could eat other kinds of foods to be yotzei shalosh shudas. Lahalacha l'shulchan aruch paskins that you should use matzah ashira. That if you matzah, you're not allowed to eat an erev pesach because it's the same matzah that you're able to be yotzei the mitzvah with that night. So it's kilu bolar esos beis chamav. But matzah ashira, you're not allowed to be yotzei the mitzvah with at the seder. So there's no issur of eating matzah ashira, of eating egg matzahs on the Erev Pesach. And the Rambam writes that in Bedinos Ashkenaz, the minhag is not to eat matzah ashira, because Ashkenazim don't eat matzah ashira. So you should eat mine peros, basar, bedagim, like the Meiri suggested. Mishabura quotes Achronim that it's a good idea to be machalik the Suda. So on the page of Shulchan Aruch, all three etzos come up. Then there's a fourth etzah that also makes it to the page of the Shulchan Aruch, and that's the Magen Avram. Magen Avram, people often think, they look for this Magen Avram in Hilchos Sudos Shabbos, they look in Hilchos Sudos Shlishis. It is not there. This Magen Avram is only in Hilchos Pesach, where the Magen Avram writes that a person could be Yotzei Shalosh Shudas with Divrei Torah. That instead of, since he writes in the name of the Zohar, that since you can't eat Shalosh Shudas, so you say Divrei Torah instead. So the Aruch HaShulchan and others explain, what does that mean? Be Yotzei Shalosh Shudas with Divrei Torah? No, it means that Shabbos, there is no mitzvah to eat Shalosh Shudas, because Anus Rachmanu Patre, there's no way to do it. So, okay, so it's a nice way of saying it. Learn instead. It's always a good idea to learn. So you learn instead. That's how most of the Achronim understand the Magen Avraham. There are some Achronim that say, no, there's something very deep over here, that it's Dafka, if you look in the Zohar, it's Dafka, if you're Osek and the Maisa Merkava, that you Yotzei Suda Shlishis, that there's something about that. There's some sort of tikkun that's accomplished with Suda Shlishis that could be accomplished by learning Maisa Merkava. But the Rav Poskim say, that's all Divrei Torah means, which would mean that you cannot do this during the rest of the year, that it's Dafka Adin on Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos, where we would have such an inyan of learning Divrei Torah instead of actually eating a Su'uda Shlishis. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter now. Va'af Rebbe Sava Lahad Rav Nachman Damar Rav Baravada Maisa Badamechad, meaning also like Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is one that said in the name of Rav that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're only letting your chametz through 4 hours a day, and the fifth hour it's tolin. So Maisa Badamechad, because there was a story of a guy Shehivke Diski Amalei Chametz Etzel Yochanan Chakuka, that he gave a bag full of chametz for Yochanan Chakuka to watch V'nekvua. Achbarim and Achbarim, the and Achbarim. Achbarim put a hole in it. Vayuchametz mevatzis v'yotze, and chametz started dripping out of the bag. So he had, it was a pikadon, he was supposed to watch, and here you have chametz dripping out of the bag. So balufnei Rebbe, so he came to Rebbe. So rishona amelo hamtein. The first hour, Rebbe said, wait, don't do anything with it. It's not yours. You can't go eat it. So you can't do anything with it. It's a pikadon. Maybe the guy's still going to want to come and eat breakfast. Shnia, the second hour of the day, erev Pesach amelo hamtein. He said, wait for it. Shlishis third hour, he said, wait. Revi'ah Samalantain. The fourth hour, he said, wait. Chamish Samalitzeh Mocher Bashuk. And the fifth hour, he said, go and sell it. And sell it, and that way you'll at least be able to return the money to the guy. So, my love, Lenachrim, Rabbi Yehuda. Aren't we assuming that, like Rabbi Yehuda, that it's too late for a Jew to eat it during the fifth hour, but you could sell it to a Nachri, and then you'll have money, and you'll be able to give the money back to the guy who gave you that pikadon. So, I'm Rabbi Yosef, lo, Li Yisrael, Rabbi Meir. No, he's saying, sell it to a Jew. What Jew is buying chametz at that hour? But he says, sell it to a Jew in the fifth hour of Erev Pesach, and you'll assume like Rabbi Meir. I don't know, drive by Dunkin' Donuts, he probably will see a Jew. But sell it to a Jew, and it's following Rabbi Meir, who says that you're still allowed to eat chametz in the fifth hour. So I'm like, Abai Eli Yisrael, Nishkel Nafshe. Well, if a Jew is allowed to eat it, why would you sell it at all? Just take it yourself and eat it and pay him back for it. Ezgmar Mishum Chashada. No, that's not going to look nice. If a person's going to eat it, it's going to look like he's trying to angle to get a good deal and eat the chametz that someone gave him as a pikadon. If you're trusted as a pikadon, you have to have absolute integrity. Titani gabei tzedakah shein lam aniyim lechalek. If a gabei tzedakah doesn't have aniyim to give the small change to, so part on the achemim, part on the atzman. So he wants to put it in more long-term viable monies. He could do that by having other people exchange the money, but not for his own money, because it looks like he's it's not going to look good. It looks like he's trying to get a good deal off of the tzedakah money. Gabei tamchei, the person who's in charge of the tamchei that distributes food, and there are no anim to give the food to. You have extra food from the tamchei, you sell it to somebody else. But you don't sell it to yourself. You have to be totally above board. So that we have beferish, that the halacha was that he told him, go sell it to Nachrim. So there's no room for speculation whether maybe he could sell it to a Jew. No, it was to Nachrim, which means exactly like Rabbi Yehuda. So that's what we're assuming. So there is one detail in the story that seems somewhat unnecessary, right? What was the story? That he gave him a bag full of chametz, and mevatzvetz v'yotzei. The chametz, the achbarim punctured a hole in it, and he saw the chametz start to come out. Why not just say the achbarim were going in and eating it? Yeah, you have to see that it was coming out. So the Shvos Yaakov has an interesting tshuva in Chelek Aleph Simen Yutes. A person gave someone else a closed box as a pikadon, and he didn't tell him what was in it. So he's supposed to watch this box, and he's shaking, he can't hear what's in it. He has no idea what's inside of the box, and it's coming Pesach, and he's choshish. Maybe there's food in there. Maybe there's chametz in there. So he gave it used to be they didn't just keep all the chametz in your own house and just write a shtar that the house is being leased to the guy or whatever. They would actually give it to the guy, and the guy would keep it in his house, and they would sell it to the guy. So he gave it to the guy to keep, and then the guy was poshea, and he lost everything. He lost all the chametz. So Shvus Yaakov wanted to know, is the shomer chayev to pay because he was poshea with the pikadon that he was supposed to watch? He had no idea if there was chametz in there or not. So Shvus Yaakov writes in the Tshuva Chelek Aleph Simen Yutes that we have a raya that a shomer is chayev to pay from our sugya, because it says mevatzis yotze. Why does it have to mention the chametz was mevatzis yotze? It has to be that it's dafka because the chametz was mevatzis, and you knew for sure that there was chametz in that box. Only then are you allowed to sell it. But if it was a closed box and there was no chametz mevatzes, then you shouldn't have been choshish that maybe there's chametz there on the cheshbon of someone else's pikadon. You have to be choshish for such things. So over here, where the guy was poshea and you were a mocha to a guy, it's considered that you were poshea b'shmiraso, and you're therefore going to have to pay for it. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Amar Rav Yosef, Keman Ozla Hashmaita to Rebbe, from Meshum Gamliel. That Rebbe is assuming like the Sheet of Meshum Gamliel. The Tana, Namafkin Perisitz al Chavera Afilu, Mein Avudin, Loyiga Behen. Tanakama says that if you have a Pikadon of Peros, even if they're getting ruined, they're getting rotted out, they're going to get old, and the guy's not coming to take them back, don't touch them. Rav Meshum Gamliel on there, Mochram Bezin, Meshav Saveda. No, sell them in Bezin, meaning let Bezin assess the price, but sell them in Bezin so for the sake of Hashav Saveda, so that the person won't don't lose whatever he gave you. So Amar Le Abaye V'Lavit Marala Amar Aver B'Chanam Rabbi Yochel Loshanu Ella B'Kedei Chisronan Avol Yosim B'Kedei Chisronan Mochron LeBeisdin. But didn't we say that that's only that it's B'Kedei Chisronan that when they're getting lost when in the normal way when they're slowly becoming devalued. So, but if it's Yosim B'Kedei Chisronan, if they're rapidly dropping in price and they're gonna get ruined, then you could sell them Beisdin. Especially over here by Chamitz, it's going to be worthless, right? Comes that time, and that's it. Chamitz is going to be absolutely worthless. So over here, you don't have to lock it in dafka to the shita that says mochron bebezdin in a case where you have a pikadon. No, over here by Chamitz, everyone's going to say mochron bebezdin. Everyone's going to say you're allowed to sell it because it's going to be totally lost in our case. So that's sugya number one. The rest of the daf is sugya number two. The Mishnah had said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there were two chalos by the Harabayis, and when both chalos were there, you know that you're still allowed to eat chametz. When one chalos was there and the other was not there, then you know that it's tolen, that you're not allowed to eat anymore, but you don't have to burn yet. And then when they were both gone, it was already this man biur. So Tani Tana Kamed Rabbi Yehuda al gav ha'itzva, that it was al gav ha'itzva that these two chalos were. Amalei v'chilat snian hu tzarech. Why would they put al gav ha'itzva? Al gav ha'itzva sounds like it's covered by the awning of the itzva. Well, you want to hide this chametz? Adrab, the whole point of it, you want to hide these loaves, the whole point of it is to publicize, is to let the world see these loaves. So Tani, al-gag ha-itzva. No, really what it means to say is al-gag ha-itzva, that it should be out on the rooftop so that everyone will be able to see. It is interesting that the other place where we mentioned in Shas about the gag ha-itzva and the gag ha-itzva is a Gemara Mesecha Sukkah that tells us that the Chazanim were makabal the lulavim and they were mesad the lulavim al-gag ha-itzva. Yom Rishon was on Shabbos. So they're Mesad Lulavim al Gag Ha'itzva. So the Gemara over there says, V'chili Yavshon Hutzarech. What, they need to dry out the Lulavim? They put them on the roof of the Itzva where the sun is going to beat down on them and they're going to dry? That's not a good idea. So the Gemara says, no, it's al Gag Ha'itzva. That over there. So it's the Rishonim already bothered that. Like, we had two places in Shas where we talk about, and we got it wrong in both places, and then we had to flip it around. So you have to say something that probably was taught al Gag Ha'itzva in both places. And it just has to be clarified in one place or the other, whatever it is. But that's the Gag Ha'itzva. Now Rashi writes that there was a Gag because of the rain. So it's mashma from Rashi that only the Itztava'os had a Gag over it to protect from the rain. However, there's an unusual Rambam. The Rambam Nutzpei Sabichira Perikei Halacha Aleph writes that Harabayis was Chamish Me'osama al Chamish Me'osama. That's not the unusual part. And he writes V'kulo Hayemekura Stav Lefnimi Stav, that the entire Harabayis had a roof over it. So the Melech HaShlomo, he says that the Rambam says V'kulo Hayemekura means the entire Harabayis mamish, and he says it's unbelievable because we don't find anywhere that Harabayis was kula makura. Mishnah Mel says, what do you mean you don't find anywhere? You have from the Yerushalmi tells the story of Chonia Ma'agel, right? When Chonia Ma'agel and the Seches Tainus was davening for rain, so then it rained so much. So where did everyone go when it rained so much? Yerushalmi says they all ran up to Harabayis. Why would they go to Harabayis just because it's raining? So I always thought higher ground, that it was flooding, so they wanted to go to higher ground. So it says. Says the Mishnah Lemelech. No, they went to Harabayis because it was roofed, and that was it was a canopy protecting them from the rain. So that's why they went to the Harabayis, and that's the basis for the Rambam. The Ramosha writes in the Tshuva Norachaim Chelgal Sim Kuf Lamed Zayin that the Mishnah Lemelech's raya is not really a great raya. When the Rambam says it was kula makura, he doesn't mean that either. He means that all the entire Itztava was makura. The Rambam doesn't mean that the entire Harabayis was makura because we don't find anywhere that Harabayis actually had a roof over the entire thing. Okay, so anyway, so says Maram Rav. There was like that there were two platforms, one inside of the other, and then between them there was a roof over them. So he said psulos, these loaves that they put as the symbol were pasul loaves. So am I psulos? Why would they put pasul loaves? So because they had so many karbanos toda that were brought on the day before Erev Pesach. Pesach that they became pasul bulina. So there was a lot of extra loaves around, so they would use some of those pasul loaves. Why would they have so many korbanos toda brought on the day before Erev Pesach? The Tanya ein mevi'in toda b'chag hamatzos mimrei chametz shabbat. You're not allowed to bring korban toda on Pesach itself because there are 40 loaves in the korban toda. 30 of them are matzah, but 10 of them are chametz. So you can't have chametz. So Pshita says, well, of course you can't bring on Pesach. So Rav Adi Bar Abba, hachu b'yodalet askinan v'kasavra ein mevi'in kashlam beis psul. No, we're talking about an Erev Pesach. You're not even allowed to bring a korban toda because the korban toda has 40 loaves and you have to finish all of them that day and that night. But if you're going to bring it on Erev Pesach, you have to finish it by 5 hours into the day on Erev Pesach. And that's crazy. How is a person supposed to finish that amount of food even with help from his friends? So it's going to be v'kasavra ein mevi'in kashlam beis psul. You're going to be maybe kashlam beis psul because you're minimizing the time you're allowed to eat it. And therefore, since you couldn't bring it on Erev Pesach, v'kuliyama b'shlosh asar ma'isilu umitok shem rubos nifsalos b'lina. And therefore, everyone would bring it the day before Erev Pesach, and because there was so much of it, it became pasul b'lina. This is the basis for our minhag that we do not recite Mizmor L'Soda on Erev Pesach, because we assume Mizmor L'Soda is in place of the Korban Toda. Beis Yosef points out that some people do recite it on Erev Pesach, because he says, no, Mizmor L'Soda is our expression of Toda, and an expression of Toda we can do 365 days a year, we can do whenever we want. It just happens to be, as far as the actual carbon, the way we would express Toda in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, that we're unable to do nowadays. But anyway, that's our practice. Not only that, we also have practice not mentioned in the Gemara, not to say Mizmor L'Soda on Erev Yom HaKippurim, because that's also Mimai Pachil, so the Achronim are bothered. Why doesn't the Gemara mention that? That's also an obvious being Mimait in the Zman Achila, so the Achronim suggest, no, because on Yom HaKippurim night, you could still feed it to Ketanim. Ketanim are allowed to eat Kachi Kachim, so you can still feed it to Ketanim. But when it comes to Chametz, you're not allowed to feed it even to Ketanim later on. So that's why it's not mentioned in the Gemara. Okay, Vayit Mishum Rabbi Yana Yamru Ksheros Hayu. No, these loaves were not psulos, they were Ksheros. Why do we call them psulos? Shulunishchat Aleyan HaZevach, because the Korban Toda was not shechted in association with them. So v'nishchat, so shecht l'zevach. Sha'avar HaZevach, no, it was lost. V'naisi Zevach Echa, so bring another animal and shecht it along with these. The case is that you had identified these loaves to dafka be associated with that animal, and now that animal is gone. Maybe lechem acher, that if you lose the loaves, you can bring other loaves. Of the toda, ain maybe toda acheres, but if you lose the animal, you cannot bring another animal. My time, because lechem glal toda, vein toda glal lechem. The lechem comes on account of the carbon of the zevach. The zevach is not on account of the lechem. So says Gemara, yeah, but you could still redeem them and just make them chulin and redeem them for money. So says Gemara, Eliyolam shenishchat alein hazevach v'nishpachadam. No, there was a zevach. You shechted the zevach, and then the blood spilled out. You were never able to do the zrikas hadam. So, Kaman, Kerebi, Dam Rebi, Shnei Dvarma Matirim, Malin Zeh, below Zeh, that whenever you have two Matirim, like a Shechita and a Zrika, is Matir the Lechem, so one could work without the other. Titania, Kivsei Atzeres, Ein Mekachim Nasa Lechem, Ela B'Shechita. The Kivsei Atzeres also comes with Shtei Alechem, with loaves, it's Shtei Alechem for Shavuos, so you're only Mekachim Lechem Al Yedei the Shechita. Ketzad, Shachtel, Neshman, Vizarkan, Dabin, Neshman, Kiddish Alechem. If you did everything right, both the Shechita and the Zrika, Neshma, the Lechem becomes kadosh. Shachtan shalol l'shman v'zorek damen shalol l'shman lo kiddush lechem. If you did everything wrong, the shechita and the zrika was all shalol l'shma. The lechem is not kadosh. Shachtan l'shman v'zorek damen shalol l'shman lechem kadosh ve'eno kadosh. Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe holds that if you did just the shechita l'shma but not the zrika l'shma, the lechem is kadosh ve'eno kadosh. The lechem is tola. It's you're not allowed to eat it, even though the kvasim themselves are mutter, because if it's not but you're not allowed to eat it. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Liolam Eino Kadosh Halechem Ad Sheyishchot L'Shman V'Yizruk Damel L'Shman. No, it's only going to have any sort of Kedusha if you did both the Shechita and the Zrika. So you see that Rebbe's Shita is that even with just one, even just Shechita L'Shma is enough to give it Kedusha. So the same is true of the Korban Toda. So what types of loaves were these? These were loaves that became Kadosh. How did they become Kadosh? They were associated with the Zevach. They were associated with the Korban. And that Korban was Shechted. But then the Dam that that they were supposed to be Zorek spilled out and they were never able to be Zorek the dam. So Rebbe's assumption is that it has Kedusha. Says Mar Afil Tem Rebbe Lezer Rebbe Shimon. Hakum Ha'eskin Konshin Eskabel Adam Bekos V'nishbach. Now even Rebbe Lezer Rebbe Shimon, who holds that you needed the Zrika L'shma also, would say that these loaves are Kadosh. Aye, but they never did the Zrika. Yeah, but they caught the dam in the coast and they were ready to do the Zrika. Rebbe Lezer Rebbe Shimon, Savalei Kavu Adam Kolam Elizrok Kizarok Dam. Because Rebbe Lezer Rebbe Shimon holds like his father held that any time, like Rebbe Shimon himself held, that anything that's only the Zrika is as if it was already Zaruk, and therefore the full Kedusha has been Chal on these loaves. So Tani Mishim Rebbe Lezer Amr Ksheros Hayu, calls Man Shemenuchos Kalam Ochlin. So these were kosher loaves, and so long as they were there, everyone is allowed to eat Chametz. Nitlach, as man, one of them was removed, Tolin Lo Ochim Lo Sarfin. Then you're not allowed to eat Chametz, but you also don't have to burn Chametz. Nitlu Shteir, if they were both removed, the Schilu Kulan Sarfin. Then you knew that it was time to burn the Chametz. So Tani Abishol Omer Shtei Paros Hayu Chorshos Paramishcha. Abishol says, totally different. It wasn't loaves, it wasn't Lachmi Toda, not kosher, not Pasol. No, there were two cows that were plowing on Haraz Esim. Calls Man Shishtein Chorshos, Kalam Ochlin. If both cows were still out there plowing, then everyone knew that they were allowed to eat Chametz. Nitelis Achas Man, Tolin Lachim Lo Sarfin. If one of the cows had left, Haraz Esim was no longer working there, then they knew that it was Tolin, that you're not allowed to eat it, nor do you have to burn it. Nitlu Shtein Ischilu Kalam Sarfin. If they were both gone, then everyone began to burn it. So Be'ez Hashem, Elisha will pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow. I'm going to be away for Shabbos and get ready for a week of Rabbi Chanina Segan Aquanim. This is known as the hardest sugya in Shas. So he thought when you're done with Erev and they lie to you, they say, oh, if you can make it through Erev, you can make it through anything. You got another week till you can make it through anything.